Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Hallelujah. So, it went like this. I had a sermon plan for tonight and had it ready. And at about 3 o'clock this morning, Holy Spirit woke me up with a scripture to go a different direction. So, this may be real brief. It may not. I have no idea. But we're going to go for it. Amen. And see where Holy Spirit takes us tonight. So I want you to open your Bibles to Colossians 1, verse 25. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. Colossians 1, verse 25. We're going to look at 25 through 27. And basically, it's probably the only scripture we're going to turn to tonight, if y'all can believe that. I'm usually with 25 scriptures. Says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the phrase I woke up with. In fact, somebody might can verify this for me. I don't know if it's true or not. I heard that scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and I actually saw a mini book that had that title in it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I thought, there is such a thing? Okay, I thought I had it. So 3 o'clock this morning, I'm up digging through my pile of mini books that we have, trying to find it, and which I never did. So It'll probably appear when I come home. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I think this is just a culmination of things that Holy Spirit's been speaking to this church. And it's just been building for the past year or so. And then Pat Harrison came. I'm going to read the prophecy she gave us to you tonight. And just there was such an anointing in the room. I don't know how many of y'all experienced that or not, but I'm sitting here. Now, you know, she didn't preach anything we haven't heard before or ministered before. But I was on the edge of my seat. You know, Peter was talking about that, sitting on the edge of his seat. I was totally captivated and hung on nearly every word that woman said because the anointing was so powerful in here. And you know, I know she laid hands on Pastor Alan and me, and Alan was like drunk in the Holy Ghost the whole entire night. He wasn't even sure if he could drive my car from our parking lot up to the youth room, and came back to the to his office to write a check, and he walks in his office. Now, this would be common for me, okay, but not for him. He walks in his office, and he's standing there, and he has no idea why he's in there. What am I here for? Why am I standing here in my office? He said it took him a few seconds to realize, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be writing Pat's check for her. You know, he was just a little loopy for the whole entire evening, and the presence of the Lord was so sweet, and I don't know, just the past few months, there's just been a pulling or a drawing. And I believe most of the people in this church are feeling that. At least those that are regular attenders are feeling that. That shift, that change that's going on. And so I woke up this morning and I heard, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I was like, wow, where did that come from? Because that has not been a scripture I've been meditating on at all. In fact, I've been meditating on, you know, not looking at the wind. This has nothing to do with where I was going at all. And as I've been meditating on this, Holy Spirit told me, he said, it's not about you. It's Christ in you. It's not about you, it's about him. And sometimes I think we get our eyes off of who this is all really and truly about. It's not about what we can do. It's about his power in and through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're going to break that down just a little bit. It's his Holy Spirit in you that gives you hope for today. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the, when I got saved, salvation was good. Okay, well, you know, you're going to go to heaven, you get saved. You don't have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues to go to heaven. But when I got saved, I was happy, and I knew I got saved. But I still really struggled. I was born again. I know if I had died, I'd have gone to heaven. But I was not living like a Christian ought to live. Okay, I've told y'all before, I had no idea how to live like a Christian ought to live. I knew what I was doing wasn't how a Christian ought to live, but, you know. So, but when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everything changed. Everything in my life changed. The realization of having Christ in me, having the anointed one in his anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, that it just became so real when that second baptism happened in my life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in you, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in you, that gives other people hope and brings a realization of the power of God. When somebody who knows you sees the transition in your life and they know that it's not because you're doing it, because, you know, I don't know how many of y'all tried this, but I tried to be good. But trying to be good doesn't get it. You can only be good for so long. 2 days. Thoughts. It's Holy Spirit in you that gives others hope that there is power available to live victoriously on this earth. They see that operating in our lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory. They see that operating in our lives. And then that gives them hope that there's hope for them. That they can move in a different realm, operate in a higher level than they're operating on, walk victoriously. They don't have to succumb to every little whim of the flesh and the things that's going on in their lives. They can live victoriously. It is the Holy Spirit in you that gives us hope for eternity. To know that, you know, we know that we are going to live, we're going to live for forever. Our bodies are not, but our spirits are. One day our bodies are going to go in the dirt, but our spirits are going to live and with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to be living high on above the earth, high in every way. It is Christ in you, the anointed one in his anointing. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say it again, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is Christ in us. Being Christ inside minded and walking in that victory. And we're nothing without him. Surely I'm not the only one that gets my eyes on me and has a day or a moment when I think it's all about me. But you know what? It's not. It's all about him. It's about him. And we're nothing without him. You know, think about it. We are nothing without him. Without Christ, without Jesus, you're just a human being sojourning on this earth. You're going to die one day and go to hell. without Jesus. Now, all y'all are going to die one day and you're going to go to heaven, like I said. But think about that. Your existence here on this earth without Jesus, I'm not saying you can't contribute to society. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying you can't do good things. I'm not saying that people, you know, you're not going to have great relationships and people won't love you and those type of things. But that's it. When that's over and you're going to hell. A person who doesn't know Jesus, who has not made him the Lord of their life. We will live a glorious life. We live a glorious life. We live on a plane of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We live on a plane of glory here upon this earth now, but the plane of glory that we're going to live in when we go and live with him far surpasses anything we'll ever know here upon this earth. Amen? So he says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages, that's verse 26, in generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we know the mystery. We know the mystery. But, you know, when Paul talks about the mystery, he's not talking about something that can't be solved. He's talking about something that had basically been hidden. Like if you joined a club and your club had secret doctrines and bylaws and those type of things, you know, how some clubs do. And nobody but the members of that club can know those things. You have to be a part of the club. We have to be part of the family of God to have that understanding of Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have to be a part of the family of God to have the realization that the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us and is for everyone who believes. Not just for the Jew, but for everyone who believes. And then we're grafted into a completely new family. And so now we're the church. We're not Jew, we're not Gentile, we're the church. We're the body of Christ now. And so that mystery of Christ in you, that mystery that the Gentiles could be saved and have the same living God on the inside of them that the Jews claim to have. But we're not either one of them anymore. We're not Gentiles. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's talking about the revelation of things that were hidden. Things that weren't revealed to people yet, but now it is. Now it's revealed to you, and it's revealed to me, and it's revealed to everyone who believes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is for you, and the mystery is for me. The mystery is for us. We've sang that song. I asked Nate to do that song. The last one that we did, what's the name of that song? Nothing else, nothing else, thank you, nothing else. Sunday morning I came to church, and I was standing here thinking, you know, Wednesday night I just felt led that we needed to sing that song. And then they sang it Sunday morning. I almost just started boo-hooing. I was like, oh, God, you're so good to me. Because I couldn't think of the words to it. All I could think of was the part that I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I've taken you for granted. I'm sorry when I have made this walk on this earth about me and not about him and not about revealing his glory and not about revealing who he is, but made it about my wants, my desires, me, mine. I'm sorry when I behaved in manners that didn't reveal his love. So I was meditating on that. I was meditating on those words, and I know all that's not in the song, but it's, you know, that leads me to that. I'm sorry. He says, I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I just want you. I just want you, Jesus. Nothing else will do. You know, on this earth, guys, we try to fix and we try to get and we try to cover up and we try to, you know, ease over stuff and we try to do all those things. But I'm telling you, only Jesus, this is my doctrine. This is me. Jesus is the answer. But he is the answer to all things. That's what I believe. You know, that's what I believe. And we just can't make it in this life with peace and joy. You know, I talk a lot about watching stuff on TV and watching the news and things like that and how it just can, Lord have mercy. It can get you riled. I mean, the unjustness and the lies and the deceit and the manipulation and all the stuff that goes on with all those crazies out there. It can't be healthy to watch too much of that stuff. I'll tell you what. Not for me. Some people I'm sure can take it with a grain of salt, but I just get aggravated. I'm like, all these people, they're probably not all going to go to hell, but they live like they are. Anyway, back to what I'm talking about. The mystery is Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. In you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not Christ out there. Not Christ in the priest or whoever. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are a carrier of the presence of God. Say, I'm a carrier of the presence of God. You are a carrier. Think about that. You are a carrier of the presence of God. Wherever you go. Now, whether you manifest that presence is a lot up to you or not. But I feel that we take that supernatural, we just take it for granted. That is supernatural. We say we want to see the supernatural. That's supernatural right there. That the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us and he manifests himself in and through our lives. That's supernatural. I know it is for me. Because if he'll use a little heathen girl like me to do anything, if he'll come, if the Spirit of the living God would come, and a lot of you guys were in the same boat. I mean, you know, when you got saved, we were all in the same boat when we got saved. We weren't saved. We were going to hell, you know. We were heathens. But when you got, I mean, Jesus sent his Spirit, Holy Spirit, to live in that trash. Why? That's amazing to me. Why would he do that for me? Take someone like me and choose to allow Holy Spirit to live and dwell in me and resurrect this life from the pit that it was in. That is supernatural. That is supernatural. And you know what? I don't want to take that for granted. I don't ever want to take that for granted. And you know, as born-again believers and all y'all in here have been saved a long time, and it's real easy to take that for granted. And, you know, we get ourselves in the situation where we just think we're all that in a bag of chips and we know it all. And, you know, we got this thing going on and we got, you know, we're good Christians. We're here on Wednesday night and, you know, we're here every Sunday morning and the worship team and we go to prayer and all that kind of stuff. And we got it. You know what? If we get that attitude, we don't got it. Better check again. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's a supernatural transformation that takes place when we receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and we should not ever take that for granted. We should not ever take, you know, we take our spouses for granted, we take our kids for granted, we take pretty much everything for granted. You know, we do. I mean, you know, we just get used to the status quo of our lives, and we just take it for granted until you lose something. Well, we're not going to lose our salvation, that's for sure. but we don't need to take it for granted. Christ in you. I'm going to read off a couple parts of scriptures real quick. Galatians 4:19, Paul said, "My little children, I am travailing in birth pains against you until Christ be formed in you." And to the Roman church, he said, in Romans 8:10, he said, "If Christ be in you, this body of sin is dead." And to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you." And in Ephesians 3:17, he says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts." Paul, one thing I love about Paul, he was so not religious. Once he got saved and got out of religion, he hated religion. And Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ being formed in you, especially to a Gentile, was so against the rigid religious status quo that it just drove the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those people just crazy, all the religious leaders just crazy. Paul was so radical. I mean, you got to think about what the man came out of and how he turned his back on religion and then started preaching a gospel that was completely contrary to what the religious leaders believed. And so he's talking to these churches all through Paul's epistles. He talks about revealing Christ through our lives. It's weaved in and out of all the epistles. Revealing Christ through us. Who Jesus is, revealing himself in us. Going into maturity, revealing who the Father is. Walking in love, walking in forgiveness. All those things. Revealing who he is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Revealing who he is. Hope. It isn't a wish. It's a reality that Christ is in you. So what is glory? When I was thinking about glory, I thought about Moses, and he says, "God, show me your glory." And God said to him, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you." So the glory of God is God's goodness made visible to us. Now that happens in a lot of different forms. The glory of God is God's goodness made visible to us. And there's a book called What on Earth is Glory by Paul Manwaring. And he says this in his book. I love it. God's glory is the result of God expressing himself. In other words, everything he has made and does, and the attributes of nature and power behind those actions are his glory. His glory is who he is. His glory is what he does. His glory is his goodness. God's glory reveals who he is. You know, we see the glory of God everywhere. We see it in creation. I saw this picture on Facebook not too long ago. It was called, I think, the painted bird or something. Did anybody see that picture? Oh, my word. I mean, it was a real bird. It wasn't a piece of art. It is a piece of art. God made it. But I'm talking about the picture was a picture of a real bird. Unbelievable. I looked at that picture and I was like, wow. Only God. Only God. God is revealed. His glory is revealed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His glory is revealed in you. His glory is revealed in nature. His glory is revealed. And every place where he is revealed is his glory. His glory is his goodness. His glory is who he is. Hope, like I said, it isn't a wish. Hope is an expectation. Hope is an expectation. Sometimes we just throw that word around. You know, I hope you feel better. I hope I get a raise. I hope, you know, whatever. But really, are you really hoping? Because hope is an expectation. Are you really expecting? I think we should be a little more careful how we throw that word around. Are you really expecting something, or are you just kind of throwing a word around there? You might as well say something like, "It'd be nice if you got better. It'd be nice if I got a raise." But are you really hoping? is it really an expectation? Hope is expectation. Mine's expository dictionary says, favorable and confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen and the future. I like this part. Hope describes the happy anticipation of good. The happy anticipation of good. And you know, you don't see hope associated with sadness or depression. You can't really be depressed and have hope all at the same time, can you? The happy anticipation of something good. Hope is an expectation. Christ in you is the expectation of God revealing himself. If glory is God manifest, if hope is expectation, then Christ in you is expectation of God revealing himself on this earth. It is the expectation that is formed that there truly is a loving God. It is the expectation of something more than what is seen here on earth, than what is temporal. Christ in you is that supernatural occurrence. And so it gives others that expectation. The expectation that there's more here upon this earth than just getting it through every single day. Just getting up, getting dressed, doing what it is we do, getting undressed and going to bed. Christ in you, the hope, the expectation of God revealing himself. Wow. Pat Harrison gave us a prophecy. I want to read that prophecy to you. And she made the statement. She said, the people in our church need to be listening to it. She said, ask God what his plan is for you, what your part is in his purpose for this place. She said, you aren't here just to be here. That God is a purposeful God, and you have a purpose, and he puts you in places for purpose. And as I listened to this prophecy, I could see how all of this prophecy was spoken to me and Alan personally. This prophecy is a prophetic word for this church. It's not just, and she said that, but I just want to reiterate that. That it wasn't, yes, it is for us as individuals, but it's like a family. And when the father of the family, this is a good example. When the father of the family gets a raise, everybody benefits. Right? You know? So look at it that way. She said, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I have seen your labor of love, and I have seen the things that the enemy has tried to put against you. Ha ha, she laughs. You know, they mean nothing compared to the power you have within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Compared with that which I have asked you to do, and because I asked you, then I give you the qualifications, the wisdom, and all that goes with it to do it. Do you have the mind of Christ? That's what the word says. It says we have the mind of Christ. The word says if we ask, lack wisdom, just ask. He freely gives it to us. So in this prophetic word, she said, I've given you the qualifications. Remember, we've been talking about how God gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've given you the qualifications, the wisdom, and all that goes with it to do it. So know this. You're in the right place at the right time, and things are going to fall in place like you have never seen before. Because I am working behind the scenes that you cannot see. But know that I am working, and things are going to come about faster than you think in this place. In this place. Things are going to come about faster than you think in this place. Now, we've been praying for an awakening in the body of Christ, not just at New Life Church, but in the body of Christ, but also specifically at New Life Church, because this is our church. And we're praying for an awakening. We're praying for a move of the Spirit of God. We're praying for God's people's heart to be stirred, for them to have a hunger. She said they're going to come about faster than you think in this place. And all that I have asked you to do and what I've called you to for this time and for this season, for I have moved you into a season that's important to you and for this place and for the people that I have called to you and with you. That's y'all. Because this season is a time of exceptional moving of the Spirit of God. This season is a time of an exceptional moving of the Spirit of God. But it's up to us to embrace that and to walk in that. Peter talked about, are you bringers? Are you going to be bringers when you come to church? Are you going to come to church with expectations? I want, raise hands. This is a church, y'all, be honest. How many of you have gone back and listened to either one of Peter's sermons that he preached? You people, good job. Good job. I want to challenge you. Go back and listen to both of them. They'll stir you up. And I believe that between what has been ministered thus far this year, what Pat Harrison had to say, what the Spirit of the Lord has led Peter to minister on, I believe God is building something. And you need to all be on the same page. Everybody needs to be on the same page. So I want to encourage you, listen to those sermons. Just go to the Facebook page, website, click the listen button, and they're all on there. This season is a time of knowing my voice and expecting extraordinary manifestations from the greatness of God by the Holy Spirit. And it shall be because I have so ordained, and so as a result, I want you to be ready. Let's be ready. I'm ready. I think I'm ready. I'm working on getting ready. You'd ask the Father if I'm ready. Know that the season I have moved you into, there are things that I have already spoken to you about, but know that you can fulfill it, and it shall come to pass because of my greatness. Whose greatness? God's greatness, not ours. Not yours, not mine, not his. God's greatness. And what I am doing by the Spirit of God for you and with you. She laughs and speaks in tongues for a few seconds. So rejoice that I have placed you at this time in this season for the greatness of me to be shining forth and to be shown to this community and to those around you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory of God shining forth out of you, out of the church, out of the body of Christ. Why? To be shown to the community and to those who are around you. Not for us. Not for me. Because I have given you a good name in this community, and people have an understanding of everyone and how you have helped and brought forth greatness in people because of your, yes, she said, because of your commitment and because of your passion to help other people. So know that now is the time of rejoicing, because this season is a time that you shall see things even that I have talked to you about many years ago. You shall begin to see them. Ha ha, amen, she said. I put it all in there. You shall begin to see them. You shall know that this is my God and his greatness is shining forth. She said, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love them so much. Father, that you would speak to them and you would talk to them and you would tell them that which you desire of them and how you love them and that it is me that is flowing in them and moving and working. Yes, Father, it is you. It is you. I give you all the glory and honor and praise, for it is so true. And she addressed the congregation and she said, there would be extraordinary manifestations and that everyone should expect. Come expecting. She said, go out expecting because you are a part of it. She said, it's not them alone, it's the whole body. So expect. Keep your expectors turned on. Expect the extraordinary manifestations. And she said, it's time, it's time, it's time. God is saying it's time, and this is the season that I have moved you into. Hallelujah. It's time, it's time, it's time. Now, I am embracing this prophetic word, And I'm praying over this, and I'm calling this into existence. But you know what? She said that we have to have expectations. And one thing we've got to realize is who the power of God that's dwelling on the inside of us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And coming into a position and a place to manifest that power that's on the inside of you. Because I can promise you, a move of God is not a one-man show. And Peter made that very clear in the two Sundays that he ministered. It's not a one-man show. Well, it's not a show. It's the power of God being manifest to meet the needs of people. And that's what it is. And that's what I want to see. And that's what I believe that we are about to see in a major, major way. So I want to challenge you. Wrap this up. I want to challenge you. Go back. Listen to those sermons. And hey, while you're there, you'll see a lot of other sermons you can listen to too. And maybe next week I'm going to question you on that. Anyway, Father, we thank you so much for your love. Father, we thank you for the manifestation of your power and your glory. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you make yourself manifest and present in our midst, in us and through us, that we reveal the living God here upon this earth in our everyday life, Lord. That we don't take you for granted. We don't take your power for granted. We don't take your anointing for granted. But Father, we make ourselves ever present, have a ever presence of mind of your presence and your glory. Father, I bless the people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a blessed rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.